imagine taking your generosity to the next level, impacting more lives and leaving a godly legacy for generations to come. Get ideas and strategies to do just that when you listen to these personal stories from high-level kingdom champions. The Kingdom Investor Podcast showcases business leaders who have moved from success to significance, sharing how they use worldly wealth for kingdom impact. Discover how they grew in generosity, impacted more lives, and built godly legacies. You'll find motivation, inspiration, and practical steps to grow as a Kingdom Investor.
Hello, and welcome to the Kingdom Investor Podcast. This is your host, Daniel White. Thanks for joining us as we interview Sterling Harris. Sterling is a former NFL player and federal prisoner whose life was radically changed by starting and developing an intimate relationship with Jesus. Sterling is a person who has tried all life had to offer and found no true peace or fulfillment until God moved him from being a lukewarm religious Christian to hearing God's voice and being on fire for Jesus. If you have enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, follow us on LinkedIn, and share it with your friends. And now, without further ado, let's get right into the show. Hello, and welcome to the Kingdom Investor Podcast. Sterling Harris, how are you doing today?
Man, it is an honor and a pleasure to be on here, D.
Absolutely. So if you can share just a little bit about yourself and maybe where you're coming to us from, that'd be great.
I'm coming to you right outside of Austin, Texas. So I'm down here in the great state of Texas. And a little bit about myself is business-wise, and what I call my marketplace ministry is I'm a freight broker, and our company moves 18-wheelers all across the country, mostly building products and things like that. And we moved between about 100 and 120 to 170 truckloads of product a week.
Wow, that's incredible. So I am really excited about getting into your story and testimony and just hearing about the business side of things too. But before we do, do you mind praying just for our time and our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we just release a grace, a business anointing grace over the listeners and the viewers right now in Jesus' name. God, please have your way on this podcast. Have your way in their lives, God. I just release a double portion blessing, God, of restoration, of financial increase, a double portion of what I have experienced, God. I release that to them through this podcast in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Would you share your story with us?
Yeah. So, Dee, I grew up in a, I guess, a religious background, if you want to call it that, meaning that I really, you know, to me, Christianity was church attendance and everything. If you asked me if I was a believer, I would tell you my church attendance for better or for worse. At 12 years old, I had my first spiritual encounter with God where I just said, God, if you're real and you want a relationship with me, like show yourself to me. I had no context, no grid for the supernatural, no grid really for God other than I'm a little kid just kind of throwing up this prayer. And the next morning, I wake up with a sense of peace and fulfillment and just an overall just calm. And I didn't see Jesus in the room, but I knew that God's presence, that I felt like God was in the room as a 12-year-old kid. And I knew what he was putting on my heart is what I was sensing and feeling physically was an answer to both of my questions. Yes. Yes, I'm real. Yes, I want a relationship with you. And based on that, I gave my life to Jesus when I was 12 years old, saved, got baptized in the church, all those different things. But that day marked me, and that day is when I gave my life to the Lord. Unfortunately, after that, I got religion, not a relationship with God. And you basically, all of us generally do what we see modeled until we realize what we're modeling, if we're self-aware enough, is not an effective or could be a broken model. In my case, I modeled church attendance as Christianity, not an actual relational daily connection with God. I actually didn't know that hearing God's voice was available unless you were some super Christian with, like, you know, marked at birth and you were going to change the world and millions of people. I thought then, only then, the special spiritual elite could hear God's voice. So I lived with that belief system for a number of years, and that God was this God that up in heaven that was looking down just to zap me when I did stuff bad. And when I did good, it was just what he expected anyway. So for so many Christians, that's what God is. They know about God. They know the do's and don'ts of the Bible. Most of them do. At the same time, they don't really know God's character and nature because they don't know him through a daily relational connection. And that left me, as well as so many well-meaning people, that leaves you feeling rejected by God, even though you're accepted. It feels like you're not being validated by God, because without a connection and communication two-way, there's no relationship there. If I had a connection with my wife, but there was only a one-way conversation, that wouldn't be very good. People wouldn't call that a healthy marriage. But a lot of people call that their faith in God because, again, they don't know any better. And when you don't know better, you can't do better. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. But it also says, my people go into captivity for lack of knowledge. And for so many years, I was a captive Christian to religion until I just really got fed up. So I looked for all this validation within the world system, whether it was being good at school or trying to be popular in high school or going on and playing in college in the NFL. You know, I looked for validation in people, places, and things, always feeling like I couldn't get validation from God because I could never measure up. And again, it was based on religious thinking and not actually the character and nature of God, which is love and connection. But if you don't know, if you don't know something, then what you don't know can hurt you. And your thinking or your theology, your thinking about a matter, can leave you very ineffective in business, life, and especially in your relationship with God. And in this case, my lack of knowledge and the realization that I did not have kept me bound in my thinking in various ways. And I viewed God through a very ineffective filter, language, and definitions that I based off of my life experiences and what I saw modeled by other people around me. So that I ended up going on and playing football at SMU, graduated with a business degree there, we went 0-12 my senior season, so I know what it's like to be up against it. And I still ended up making it to the NFL on an 0-12 football team as an offensive lineman. Went on to the NFL, I had a short career there, had two injuries to the same foot. I broke my foot in three pieces my first year, came back, was starting my second year in NFL Europe, hurt my foot, re-injured my foot again. It was misdiagnosed, ended up doing some permanent damage to it, and ended up having to retire from the NFL early and lose it when I felt like was losing my dream. And at the time, I'm also under the understanding religiously that everything happens to you is God's will for your life, which is just not true. But at the time, that's the understanding I was under. And I had so many well-meaning Christians tell me and pat me on the shoulder when they asked me, like, you know, why are you so big? Basically, I mean, my gigantic person, I'm almost 6'7" at the time, you know, 300 to 340 pounds, depending on where I was on my diet. So people all the time ask me, you know, why are you so big? Or did you play football? And I said, yes, I played football for who? The Cleveland Browns. And then, oh, you did? Would you still play? And I would tell them the whole story over and over again. And there's so many people that told me, you know what, brother, God's got another plan for your life, which in my religious mindset, what I heard is God broke your foot so he could get you another dream, which there's so many people that have had life experiences that don't match up to God's character. And because of that, they're actually subconsciously disappointed and mad at God based on their own thinking. And in this case, that's where I was in life, Daniel. I was upset with God because I felt like he took my dream to give me some dream that I didn't even have any idea what it was, nor did I know if I wanted it. And the real truth of the matter is that God didn't break my foot. God didn't take my dream away from me so he can give me something else. It's football, bro. Stuff happens. You know, people get mashed up, people get hurt. And I had made football my whole identity and an idol in my life. And when you do that to anything, you give the enemy an open door to come in and still kill and destroy, because we have a real enemy. If you make your business your life, if you make your spouse your life, if you make your kids your life, be careful, because you will be opening up a door for the enemy to come in and give them legal right to still kill and destroy in that area of your life. Because anything you set up as an idol is open season for it to get torn down, because you're basically opening up a legal right. And that's what I realized later in life when I began to actually know God and I asked him about my injury. He showed me that I had actually opened the door of the enemy through this idolization I had with football, and the fact that my whole identity was wrapped up in it actually gave the enemy legal right to come in and cut my career short. So the whole time I'm thinking it was God, but the activity there was me. I was playing football. Other people were playing football. They're rough. And then the enemy, because I allowed this legal right to come in and say, okay, you know, football is my whole world. And so if the enemy knew if he could take that, then he could make me mad at God. There's a lot of people that have had tragedies in their life and things that they didn't understand that the enemy caused just to make them bitter, resentful, angry at themselves, others, and the Lord. And really, God didn't have anything to do with it except for, you know what? He was trying not for it to happen. He was trying to lead you a different direction. There was a lot of times I felt like God was leading me in another direction or kind of to a revelation. But because of my religious thinking, it was so hard for him to kind of break me out of that.
Yeah. So tell us more about your story. What happened after that?
So after that, I really came to all these mountaintop experiences. I'll be happy when experiences. I'll be happy when I'm an All-American. I'll be happy when I go to the NFL. I'll be happy when I'm making six figures. I mean, all these different I'll be happy when moments happened. And then when they came, Daniel, I didn't have any true peace and fulfillment. And the peace of fulfillment I thought I would have when I got there, I didn't have. And people look at people who are rich, who are famous, who are successful, and wonder why are they still struggling? Why are they so, you know, messed up sometimes? And the thing is that there's a void in your heart. Only a love relationship, a relational connection with God can fill. Religion won't fill it. Philanthropic work won't fill it. Money won't fill it. You can name whatever you want to put in that space. It won't fill it. And so I just got so fed up, and I was at another one of those mountaintop experiences. I had to retire from the NFL early because of injury. And I got in the real estate business, started being very successful almost instantly. And so, you know, I had the big house, the big car, the big watch. I mean, I had all the things that people say will buy you fulfillment and say is the good life. But I looked around at my friends that had even way more money than I would ever have, you know, private jets, you know, $50-100 million. I mean, just crazy money. And they had the same issue that I had, is that they really had and were looking for true peace and fulfillment. And I just said, God, you know, this can't be it. There's got to be more than this. And I began to kind of go on this journey with God. And the Lord just really began to, what I would call, speak to my heart. Because at the time, of course, I would never use the language God spoke to me. I would just be like, you know, God, I feel like God is saying, I feel like he's putting in my heart. Like, you know, that was as out there as I would get about it. But it was never something I heard people say. So it was not even something I felt comfortable saying or celebrating. And if you don't say it, if you don't celebrate it, if you don't practically and intentionally press in and do things, you don't grow your business by accident. There's no business person out there that have ever been successful by accident. You may have thought it looked like that because, oh, they're instant overnight success. Well, so, but see, you don't ever know what they had to do to get there. You don't know the dark hours, the long nights, you know, all the sacrifices it took to get. It may look like it happened instantaneously, but success is not like that. And true success and fulfillment is not like that. It's something that you have to be intentional about over time. And so I was in this place where I began to just kind of press into God intentionally, but I was still had all these religious mindsets. And then several years after that, I started doing motivational speaking. I started working with kids, involved in my church, and just doing what I knew how to do from a religious mindset. But there was all these things that I was living in compromise over. But I was like, you know, the Bible's written 2,000 years ago. You know, God's really not tripping about that. You know, all these different things. And so I was just living this almost not a double life, but kind of half in and half out. And I remember the FBI knocked at my door one day, and I had no idea what they were there for, and they were there for me. And they arrested me for mortgage fraud, and I explained to them, I don't do mortgages. I'm a real estate agent. And I just thought, literally, I'm a former NFL player, motivational speaker for kids. I'm going to go downtown, tell them I didn't know what was going on. I ended up selling this 20 houses to an investment group when I was still in the NFL and still training to get back on another team, rehabbing my injury. And I got into real estate part-time, ended up being very successful at it. But I sold 20 houses to an investment group. And like 9 months later, we find out these people were doing all kinds of fraud and not making the mortgage payments and just doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So I just wash my hands of them. Don't think anything else about it until almost 5 years later when I get this knock at my door. And the federal government did not care that I did. They were like, you had knowledge. And I say, I didn't know I had, I didn't have knowledge. And they're like, yes, sir, you did. And I'm like, I did it. But you know what? I will take accountability for trusting and not verifying. And I had this gut feeling that I now know was God, that it seemed like, oh, this is a little too good to be true. But I saw a lot of people around me doing the same kind of business and being successful. So I was like, you know, I'm just jumping on board. Young, ambitious, naive, not able or not walking with God as far as through relational connection can get you in a big wreck and cost you a lot. It cost me a lot. It cost me 3.5 years of my life in federal prison. I decided to, you know, serve God anyway. When I got my time, I was shocked. I thought I was going to get maybe probation, a little slap on the wrist. They threw 70 months in federal prison at me, of which I did 3.5 years. And so that night I go in my prayer closet and say, God, I don't understand this. Why are you doing this to me? Because again, I'm thinking, oh, this is happening because God's making this happen. That wasn't the case. There's four levels of activity in the world. There's your activity for good or evil, other people's activity for good or evil. God's activity always to call you into a deeper love relationship with him, always for your good. The devil that comes to still kill and destroy. In my situation, I did business with the wrong people. They weren't doing the right thing. And the devil wanted to do anything he could to ruin my life. And God was steadily trying to guide me away from it. That's the four levels of activity in that happened in my arrest, in my imprisonment. So I talk to God in my prayer closet and I say, God, I don't understand this. And I now know that this is the Lord's voice. Back then, I just thought, oh, well, God's kind of putting something in my heart. But he, when I asked him what was going on, a thought of the end of one of my speeches came back to me. It's one of my takeaways. It says, life will always present you challenges, but it's how you respond to those challenges that will determine your ultimate success in life. And then I just got the thought in my head, what are you going to do? And in my heart, I knew that I was being challenged by God. I wouldn't use that terminology, but I knew in my heart that's what was going on. Like, you don't understand this, son, but trust me anyway. So that's what I did. I just went into prison, did my very best to just try to press into the things of God. The first several months I was there, realized that the doors I had opened had led me into prison. Not necessarily, I wasn't in the prison because of the crime I committed, because I didn't knowingly commit the crime, but I was in prison for constantly opening the door to the enemy and living a half in, half out lifestyle. And I gave the enemy a legal right to come in and bring the curse of captivity on me. The enemy will use whatever he can against you. In my case, he used a business deal gone bad. In other people's lives, he'll use something else. And I just decided to serve God anyway. I started preaching in federal prison, saw hundreds of people come to Christ under the ministry that God had me under there. I started out sweeping the chapel. By the time I left, I would say that I was kind of like the head pastor of the complex. And it got the services got so big when I would preach, because at first people just wanted to come here. Why is this NFL player in federal prison? So at first when I started preaching, there would be standing room only in the chapel because they wanted to hear why I was in prison and what was my story was. But then when they started seeing my walk and they started hearing what I was saying, and I started helping them connect with God because I was learning how to connect with God. So I was passing on to them what I was learning through my personal relationship with God. And they started to see transformation in their lives and other people's lives. By the time I left there, like, they actually moved us into a larger, they moved us out of the chapel because it was just, the services got so big. They moved us into a larger visitation room where more people in the prison could come as far as the inmates. So God just totally radically just shifted things while I was there and shifted my mindset. He broke a lot of religious things off me. And I remember I was sitting in my prison cell one day, and I was maybe 8 or 9 months into prison. And I just felt like this call about, I've been hearing preaching, I've been seeing in my daily devotional about God wants a relationship with you. And I was mad at this time. I was mad. And I said, God, let me ask you a question, thinking I'm going to like totally stump him, right? I said, how can I have a relationship with somebody I can't see? Just like that, like just as flippant as I just did it. That's how I did it. And God in his grace, I just felt the peace of God in my cell. And I just got the flowing thought, follow me and I'll show you. And I saw those letters in block letters, like follow me in my imagination. Again, at that time, I wouldn't say that God spoke to me. I wouldn't use that terminology, but that's what happened. And so I started to write down what God's voice sounded like, what my voice sounded like, what the enemy's voice sounded like. And I started to see these patterns emerge in God's voice and in my inner voice, and my inner conscience, and the enemy's voice. And I started to see that God speaks through flowing thoughts, through impressions, through kinetic feelings of peace or lack of peace, through these mental images and video type images that would play in your mind that would have a figurative or literal meaning. I started reading the Bible, and then I would start making decisions. And when I went to make a decision, I'm like, Holy Spirit, help me. And I give God space, and a parable that Jesus told would come to my mind, and it would apply to the decision I needed to make. Or I would begin to respond to somebody, and I would think of a scripture that would change my response to them because God was changing my heart through that. And so again, that's the way that God speaks. He speaks inner audibly, inner visually. Like 99% of your communication with God is going to be internal. And a lot of people, when I start giving them these examples, they say, oh yeah, well, I've had a spiritual experience, had the chill bumps before. I've had a voice in the back of my mind that sounded wiser than I was. I've had that gut feeling with kind of a thought impression before. That's God. And so the more you're intentional about pressing into it, and you start realizing these patterns that we cover in the book and a lot of our literature, and it starts happening over and over and over and over again, you build so much history with God. You'll never be 100% hearing him accurately. I still press in, still pressing into this day to hear God's voice. It is as good and as accurately as I can. But the good thing about it is God doesn't care about accuracy. He cares about connection and relationship. He can always course correct you with love. So I got out of federal prison, ended up just staying true to the Lord and kept following him. I got into an in-treatment drug rehab facility for at-risk kids. I started working there as an assistant counselor, and God called me to write this book, How to Hear God 10 Ways God Speaks. I had just done a sermon entitled that, and God woke me up and said, I want my people to hear my voice. And I said, okay, God, I'm listening. Just a flowing thought in my heart. And he brings back to my memory this sermon I just did. And I knew he was putting on my heart to write a book on how to hear God's voice. And after a 3-year journey of writing that book, it was finally done. And a lot of the teenagers that I was working with, I did all these. This book is a how-to step-by-step. So all these step-by-steps, I worked on teenagers. So if it'll work for a teenager, it'll work for anybody. So these systems, these processes, these tactics, these step-by-steps and instructions that we have through our ministry and in our literature and in our resources are tried and tested. And I've activated thousands of people to hear God's voice for themselves. And that's what it's about. It's not about Sterling's testimony, what God's done in my life. Because in the end of the day, God wants to do more in your life, more in the listener's life than he's ever done in mine. And you're going to be able to hear God's voice, and they're going to be able to hear God's voice probably even better than I've ever done in my life. Because God cares about each and every person. He wants a deep connection with each and every person. And this book is all about you partnering with God and you hearing his voice. And my life and my business has been marked by hearing God's voice. And God has literally taken my business. When I first got into this business, like literally they were going bankrupt. They brought me in to like help save the business. And I didn't know if it could even happen. And literally within three years, we almost go bankrupt the first 2 years, almost close our doors. The third year, I just keep doing what God's telling me to do, even though sometimes in my business mind, it makes no sense. But I keep doing it, keep being faithful, sometimes getting very frustrated. But I just throw that frustration on God. I'm casting this on you, and I'm just going to keep doing it. Keep being consistent. Keep being persistent. The third year, God breathed on our business, increased about 400% year over year, and we had our best year in business ever. And when I started, they had been in business 22 years, and we're about to close their doors. So in our 24th or 25th year, we ended up having our best year on record in the last 2.5 decades. And it's not because I'm a great salesman. It's not because I'm a great business person. It's because I listen to God's voice. I walk by integrity and excellence, and I do what he says. And if you do that in any area of your life, you will see breakthrough and success, no matter what it is.
Wow. That's a powerful story. I really appreciate you sharing that with us. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you hear God's voice in business and what those decisions look like and how he's kind of directed you in that?
Absolutely. So when I first started out, I didn't have a lot to work with because I didn't have a lot of clients. I think the first couple of months, I made less than $1,000. So I mean, not the greatest starting out, right? And in my first year, I think I was barely above the poverty level my first full year in business. At the same time, the foundations, techniques, tactics have never changed because I know they work. And I know if you work them over time, just like my background is athletics. So I know if you train, you eat right, and you're regimented, and you are consistent, that you have to see results no matter what. You have to get better. You have to get in better shape. You have to lose weight. You have to get more coordinated. You cannot do something intentionally over time with the proper technique and not see increase. It's impossible. It's impossible. And so many people don't apply that to their spiritual relationship with God, but it's true. And so it's just some practical things that I would do. I'll be led by peace, lack of peace. If I didn't have peace about something, I would say, God, what are you saying about this situation? Like, for instance, when I think it was starting my third year in business, and we got this contract, and I negotiated 2 increases to this contract when we first started because they had kind of left some things out that need to be factored in. So I was able to get 2 pay increases. And I'm thinking I'm going to pass on to my truck drivers, the guys that work for me, I'm going to pass on 80% and I'm going to take 20. I thought that was very generous of me, right? But then I didn't have peace about it. I just had this check in my heart, like I was about to text them and let them know, hey, I got you 80% a pay increase. And I didn't feel peace about it. And I say, okay, God, why am I sensing this lack of peace? And then I just see 100 emoji, like you see on your phone, like a red 100 emoji in my mind. And I get the flowing thought, give them 100%. And I got peace about that. I was like, Jesus, that don't make no sense. But long story short, I got 2 pay increases, and the second time God just reminded me what happened the first time, and I just knew he was saying give him 100% again. And I walked my drivers, my employees through why I gave these guys 100% of the increase so they can hear God themselves. I want to empower them. Like, I'm not going to say, hey, God told me because I'm a Christian businessman. No, I'm going to demonstrate the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to show you how I heard God in the midst of this, so you could hopefully take this and hear God in your own personal situation. That's my heart for everyone. Those guys were so happy and so appreciative, and they worked so hard for us. And my client noticed it, and my three-week project turned into a three-month project, and they ended up keeping us on, and we still do business with them to this day. So when I forewent thousands of dollars, God has paid me back with tens of thousands of dollars in profit. But at the time, it didn't make a lot of sense. But I did what the Lord said. Other ways is just walking in integrity and excellence. Like I buy my office lunch every Thursday, almost without fail. I buy them lunch every Thursday just to say, hey, we appreciate you. God bless you. We love you. And that's one of the things that I've done over that time. We post loads sometimes that people call on these loads. And there's sometimes that I'll post something, let's say for $1,000, and then it's not getting covered. And I'll say, well, this is kind of time critical. Let's raise it another 100 or 200. But then in the meantime, right before I do that, or right after I do that, somebody will call, hey, I want that load for $1,000. Happened to me many, many times. And my office will text message me and they say, hey, so I cover this for $1,000. I said, I just raised it for $200. Give them the $200. And at first they didn't understand what I was doing, but I was like, look, we're always going to walk and err on the side of integrity. That's what we're going to do. It doesn't matter if it costs us money. We are going to, even if somebody called and doesn't even know I raised it, I'm going to get them what I raised it for, because that's the integrous thing to do. And walking in integrity and excellence like that, people can sense when you're integrous and when you're going after excellence. I had so many of my clients tell me, Sterling, you're one of the best people in your business that I've ever seen. I mean, I'm talking about people that have been doing this for 20, 30 years have told me this. And again, it's not because I'm awesome. It's not because my team's awesome. They are awesome. It's because they're sensing the kingdom on what we do. Meaning I intentionally run this business and my employees know, as far as my business is concerned, my accounts, I am totally reliant and dependent on the Lord. Like what you have seen here, how you have seen this business grow and what you've seen it do, it is 100% dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ and me listening to his voice. And it's amazing because even when I bid on freight and have to submit these large bids, I'll ask God to lead me to the numbers that he would have me do, because at the end of the day, it's his business. He's got to move the freight. He's got to move the loads. He's got to get me the trucks. He's got to get me the clients. I put that all on him, because that's a way that I keep from putting stress on myself and say, hey, God, it's your business. Like I am very generous with the money that we make and sowing into the kingdom. And you know, the way we run this business every day is vertical and then horizontal, meaning that vertically, we're going to run it from heaven, and then we're going to go out and do what we need to do horizontally, from people to people. And so I said, you know, God, this is your business. Do with it what you will. And so I put that on him. So I'll be bidding freight, and I'll even do this sometimes on the phone with my employees. And I'll say, hey, what do you think we should bid on this? And they're like, oh, I don't know, Sterling. I don't know. And I'm like, let's pray about it. And at first I started to do this with them, just to kind of like see what they would say. And I say, well, I see $1,000 in my mind. Why don't you pray about it and see what you get? And they'll be like, huh, I just thought of $1,000 too when I prayed about it. Just instantaneously came to my mind. And then sometimes when we have loads that we can't get covered, I'll just say on the phone with them, Jesus, I thank you that this is your load, that you're getting a truck for us in Jesus' name. Amen. They'll hear me all say it. And then 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, sometime later, it'll get covered. And a lot of times within an hour or less. And I remember one of my employees said, Sterling, you know what? When you first started to do that, I thought you were crazy. And I thought you were like very religious and eccentric. I said, no, I'm not religious at all. I have a spiritual love relationship with Jesus, and my life is his. That's what you see. She said, but when I saw this happen, over and over and over and over. And she's like, it's happened 1,000 times. I don't know. In the last couple of years, it's happened so many times. She's like, and then I realized that, wow, if God cares about a load getting covered and will answer a prayer that I didn't even think he should answer, how much more does he care about me? And their relationships with God have grown because of what they have seen God do in the marketplace. And again, that's what it's all about. God wants to show himself in the marketplace. He wants to show himself in the classroom. He wants to show himself in business of all kinds. The real question is, are you going to give him space to work in you and through you and in your business and through your business? And I remember one quick story of generosity. God put it on my heart that, because I was like, God, we got to, like, in my second year, I still wasn't making a lot of money. And I'm like, God, I got kids. We now got our second kid on the way. You know, I'm newly married. Like, we're making it. God's providing, but it's uncomfortable. Like, we're making it. We got just enough. And sometimes in those seasons, he's growing you, man. He's growing you in those seasons. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. And I saw this sermon about this guy, about this preacher that said, you know, I just start giving and tithing and sowing into what I want to make. And like, literally, I just felt a peace overwhelm my heart. And I'm like, okay, God, what are you saying? And I just got in my mind, this is for you. You take this and run. So I wanted to make an X amount of money per week. And so I started tithing 10% of what I wanted to make, which was at the time was sometimes over 50% of my check because I wasn't making a lot of money. So I'm tithing to what I want to make. And I remember I was just finishing up our busy season. And I said, God, I just went to him. I said, God, you know, I'm thinking this. So we're about to come up on our slow season, God. And, you know, there's weeks, God, I just don't know if we can make, I don't know if we can make it, you know, tithing that money. And there was times that I said, God, I don't have the money. I need groceries this week. And I just got the thought, you know, you'll make it up next week. Just tithe it next week. Or when you catch up in 2 or 3 weeks, you know, catch up to the tithe. And I would do that. He was very relational, very loving about it. And I remember this time I got like, it was almost like the fear of God came over me and like this overwhelming feeling of his presence. Just like I knew God was speaking to me very sternly. And he said, son, and then the flowing thought, son, you sow the seed. And I saw myself sowing the seed. Just like I saw with a seed in my hand and I sowed it. Then he said, son, sow the seed. And I'm about to break the back of poverty in your life. And I'm telling you, bro, I was like, okay, God, I felt so resolute. Like I needed that faith because again, I wasn't making a lot of money and that was a huge stretch for me, but I knew God was saying, he was speaking to me. I knew it. Like I knew my name. I don't always know it like that. There's a lot of times I'm like, I think God might be saying, or you know what, God, honey, I think that the Lord is saying this. I get the impression. I never say, thus saith the Lord. Like I know 100%. Nobody's 100%. Nobody knows 100%. You know, nobody. This isn't the Old Testament. You're not going to get stoned if you get it wrong. Like God's super graceful. He just wants you to follow him. That's what he wants. He wants connection. But I began to do that, Daniel. And can I tell you that year, by the end of that year, my house got supernaturally paid off. Paid off. I owe nothing on my house now. Nothing. Not a dime. That's not because I'm awesome. It's not because I'm lucky. It's because I sowed the seed. I listened to the Lord and God brought a supernatural increase in my life that week, that year that paled in comparison to my little tithe I was doing on a weekly basis that was so hard for me to do. Now, I'm not saying all your houses are going to get paid off, you know, when you're listening to this. I am saying that if you listen to the Lord, you live by Bible principles based on what he's telling you, that you will get your own personal miracles that happen in your life. Then that next year is when in that third year, I kept sowing. And Daniel, what's so funny is now what I was like, if I could just make this, God, like I'm tithing towards this. If I could just make this, like I'll be happy for the rest of my life. Daniel, can I tell you that that what I tied towards back then, what I was like hoping that I could just make, like most of the time in the busy season, I make quadruple that. In my slow season, I probably make double, you know, maybe more. I mean, it's, and I'm not saying that to boast in myself. I'm saying that to boast in, like, it was such a stretch for me to do that. And I was just, I had this small thinking, like, God, if I could just make this would cover all our bills. This would be great. And again, man, God had so much more for me. And he did that through my obedience. And he wants to do the same and more in your life, in everyone's life around the world. You have a purpose only you can live. You have a song only you can sing. You have a relationship with God only you can live out. The only question is, are you going to live it out? Are you going to make the mind shift? Are you going to make the heart shift? Are you going to make hearing and connecting with God a relational thing? Are you going to live Christianity as church attendance? Are you going to know about God and maybe able to quote a couple Bible scriptures and try and being out there, try to be a good person and serve? Are you actually going to really know him and hear his voice? Because what we're offering everyone today listening to this, we're offering you a personal encounter and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just salvation. We're offering for you to be able to hear his voice and know him. It's as easy as listening to this podcast, taking some of the examples that I've given, and begin to ask God open-ended questions. Hey, God, what are you saying about my business? What are you saying about my employee? What are you saying about this next year? And begin to journal down what you feel like, whether it's a mental picture, a flowing thought, a feeling of peace, or, you know, it'll be a combination of all three. Begin to journal down what you feel like God is saying and begin to create a plan based on what God is saying, and taste and see if it don't work out real, real good for you. Now, it's going to be uncomfortable at first. I guarantee it. As you heard, I mean, I started out poverty level, but, you know, now I'm doing all right.
So do you have rhythms of prayer in your business, or is it more sporadic, or... Can you talk a little bit about that, maybe?
It's a relational type situation. So the filter that I live my life through is through the Word of God, through what I do. I have a peace or lack of peace about something, and my mind is constantly going, is this a God decision? Is this what Jesus would do in essence? And I just constantly am taking things to God, and I'll just pause for a second. I'm like, God, give me some wisdom here. And then I'll make a decision. But I'm giving God space to lead me in that decision. Even if I don't have a leading either way, I'll just be led by wisdom. And so for me, I get up a little bit earlier, you know, I have some devotional time with him. Sometimes I'll read a daily devotional. Sometimes I get up and say, hey, God, you know, what do you want to do today? Like, what do you want to read today? And I'll see a book in my mind, or I'll open my Bible and I'll just kind of thumb through things until something hits me. Or maybe I'll just sit there and just kind of talk to him and say, God, this is what's on my heart today. But I'll also give God space to speak to me, meaning, God, like, you know, what's on your heart today? And sometimes I'll get a phraseology that's really funny, that'll lead me to, like, oh, I don't even know what that means. And I'll Google it, and it'll take me on this journey with him. Sometimes it's just like, I literally sit there with him. I'm talking to him. And then I'm like, okay, God, it's time to go to work now. And then I'll literally see Jesus in a trucker hat in my mind, an 18-wheeler. And it's like, he's saying, yeah, it's time to go to work. Let's go move these trucks. Like, it's constantly relational. It's never the same. I have kids, I have a wife, I have little kids that come in there and wake me up in the middle of the night. You know, I have, you know, dogs that get sick. My business is slammed to the wall, crazy. I mean, so I have a ministry. I'm writing my third book right now. Actually writing my third and fourth book right now. Really working on the third one and kind of writing the fourth one. So I'm letting you know that I got a lot going on, and everybody's got a lot going on. That's my whole point. We all got a lot going on. We always have to make time to check in with the God throughout the day. People say, well, I don't have time to pray, Sterling. I'm like, who do you talk to the most every day? The answer is yourself. So if you have time to talk to yourself, don't you have time to talk to God? So I realized when I was trying to get wisdom from myself, I'm not getting wisdom from a very smart person. God is infinitely smarter than I am. So when I'm thinking to myself, and I find myself thinking to myself, I will also kick that question to God. Or I'll say, I'll just say, Jesus, just give me wisdom. And I guess, Daniel, when I first started, it was very antiquated. I'd think thoughts, I'd ask God, I'd kind of get some peace or wisdom. I'd be writing an email, God, help me with this. And then the email would start to flow, or God, I need a help with this text. And the text would start to flow, or God, help me with this conversation that I have, and the conversation will start to flow. But because that's been my heart position for so many years, now there's times that I have to intentionally press back into that. But at the same time, it's almost like breathing now. It really, really is. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying I'm so intentional about it. And I'm so like, my whole thing is I don't want to miss God. And I don't want to do things in my own wisdom, my own power anymore, because I've done that. And then you have to keep it running. You have to keep it going. You have to do everything. Where if I keep putting it on God and I listen to him, man, it's such a less stressful way to live. Because you know what? I just got to do what he says and be in relationship with my spouse. I just have to do what he says as I interact with my children. I just have to do what he says as I interact with my employees and with people in my business, my customers. If I keep doing what he's leading me to do and keep doing it the way Jesus would do it, then I keep putting it on him practically, and he's got to make it happen. It's such a better way to live, because then when things go wrong, you're like, Jesus, okay, I'm here. I've tried to do my best. I may have missed it, but you and I got to figure this out, because I didn't get here by myself.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So do you have anything else that you want to share before we wrap up this episode?
I would tell people this: try to become more self-aware of your internal dialogue with yourself and with God. That's so key. And start becoming internally aware about what you're thinking and about what you're sensing. I tell people, if you can just start becoming internally aware of peace or lack of peace, just that one thing, peace, lack of peace, thought impression. Like, I have a peace or lack of peace. Why do I have this peace or lack of peace? And you kind of like, okay, what's going on? And start just checking in with God. I'm like, God, I don't have peace about this. Why is this? And just begin to try to get some wisdom, or you just think about it and just pause for a second and do that throughout your day, and just start being led by the peace of God, which the Bible is very clear that you can be led by God's peace. And then just give God room to speak to you. Like, give him open-ended access to help you every day. Like, how awesome is it? What if I said, hey, Daniel, Bill Gates wants to adopt you, and he wants to help you live your best life. Would you say yes or no? Why? Based on the power behind his name, and based on the assets, the influence that comes with. Why wouldn't you want to do that with the creator of the universe, who is way more powerful than Bill Gates? Yeah, it's not as straightforward as, you know, Bill Gates give me $1 billion, but God can lead you and give you things that money can't buy, that $1 billion can't buy. I mean, Bill Gates is no longer married anymore. Like, him and his wife literally was like, we can't do this anymore. I know it's going to cost us billions of dollars, but it's gotten to the place that money can't buy happiness in this marriage anymore. I mean, two of the most richest people in the world got divorced in the past 2 years. And that could happen to anybody, right? There's no shame in that situation. What I'm saying is even with all their money and resources, it was hard for them to make a marriage work. But God can do things that Bill Gates and others like him can't do, that money can't buy. Peace, comfort, health, healthy relationships. You know, God can do things that no one can do. So why wouldn't you want to partner with somebody like that? And all it's going to cost you is surrender. That's it.
All right, Sterling, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. How can we be praying for you and your family?
Man, just continue to pray that God would expand our ministry. Our heart is that people would come to know Jesus in a relational way, and that hearing his voice and knowing him would become a worldwide phenomenon, knowledge, experience. I mean, how many sermons have you heard on hearing God's voice? I've heard maybe two or three my whole entire life outside of going to like a seminar to do it. How many times have you heard that? Not very often. My heart burns for that to be like the number one topic in every church in America, every evangelistic thing. Yeah, you want to get people saved and all those different things. And yeah, you want to get people discipled. But if you're asking them to be in a relationship that's a one-way communication, can that ever be a healthy relationship? And I think as a church, we have subjugated that for whatever reason and not made that the main thing. Communication in any relationship is the foundation of any marriage. Any marriage counselor, anybody may have been married at any time will tell you in a healthy marriage, communication is the most important thing. Well, why would that not be the same thing in your relationship with God? We want to make that commonplace. That's our whole thing. Please pray for our content and content like us to be on the lips of every single church leader and Christian in the world. Because if people start really knowing God, people will look at them and say, you know what? I want what they have. Because I've seen it so many times in my life. People are like, bro, I want what you have. And I'm like, it's available. And it's not me. It's because I hear God's voice and I know him. I don't just know about him. I just don't go to church. All those things are good within themselves. But 90% of my relationship is between me and Jesus. Like me hearing his voice and knowing him and spending time with him and constantly connecting with him throughout the day. And that's what I just, please pray for this ministry. Pray for ministries like us. And just pray for the expansion of that kind of content. Because you would think that would be the number one topic in every single place of faith in America. And it's not. I don't know why. Because I would say 80% of the people that I meet that are Christians, I would say 80% of them, if I ask them, do you hear God's voice and do you know what his voice sounds like? I would say 80% of them will either tell me, yeah, I've heard his voice once or twice in my life in a really like tough situation. Or no, not really. I'm not really not sure what his voice sounds like. And I'm not even sure if God like speaks like that. What are you talking about? I mean, that's crazy to me, but that's the way I grew up. Like, if you don't know any better, you don't do any better. But our whole thing, you ask how you can pray for us, pray that the knowledge of that diffuses and spreads across the world. Cause it's so needed. It's been needed forever, but it's so needed at this time when people are so hungry for like an authentic encounter with God. And you can have that every day.
All right, let's pray right now. God, we thank you for this episode and for just how you speak to us. We pray that we would be listening to your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us and that we would hear you. Lord, we would obey you and take action. Lord, we We want to be followers of you. We want to accomplish your will in our lives. And we thank you for Sterling and for his ministry. And I pray that you would give them wisdom in how to grow as a ministry and how to help more people listen to you and hear your voice. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, bro. Daniel, thank you so much, man. God bless you guys. And God bless everyone who's going to watch this from now until kingdom come.
Amen. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Kingdom Investor Podcast. We'll catch you next time.
What if you could take your generosity to the next level, impacting more lives in your community and around the world, creating a godly legacy for generations to come? Now you can. Your first step is crafting your kingdom investing thesis. Reserve your spot in our next online workshop where we guide you through the process of discovering your passions, create a strategic plan, and connect you to opportunities that will help you fulfill your God-given calling as a kingdom investor. Register today by clicking the link in the show notes. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, and we'll see you next time for another episode of the Kingdom Investor Podcast.